Well, it's been a long time, it feels like. But I love how God starts the process before He actually requires us to do what He's asked us to do. And so I must say that I felt like I had a word that was possibly going to be before Thanksgiving, but I needed to wait and see if that was going to happen. And but you should know that in the weeks preceding this, the Lord has been probably all of us have been so aware of the gross darkness in our world, and I felt like the Lord has been saying some things to me about that. And sometimes that darkness almost seems like it's overtaking the world. But I want you to know that greater is He who is in us than the one that's causing all that stuff out there. And you know, the church has got to have a response to darkness. We have to have a response to darkness. How should we then live with this kind of darkness around us? And then a few weeks ago, we heard our dear Pastor Eric remind us of the historical vision of Shiloh. And it was so good to hear, especially coming from him. And he reminded us all that Shiloh's DNA remains. And it was so good to hear that Shiloh will always be a house of prayer. It will always be a place of refuge in the end times. It will always be a ministry to children. It will always be a sanctuary of praise in the desert. And it will always be a place of His presence. And then I was reminded of a part of our theme scripture from Genesis 49:10 that says, "The gathering of the people will be unto Jesus." Unto Jesus. He was called Shiloh in that verse, and that gave us a founding scripture. But we always knew the gathering was never to be to a building or to a man, but it was always to be to Jesus. Well, I really do plan to tell you what we're going to talk about today. But I need to kind of get there, okay? During all of this, probably some weeks before the installation and our retirement, Pastor Joseph and I were clearing out our offices of a lot of personal things that we have back there, and so that Pastor Eric and Raquel could move in without all our staff. And it's kind of funny because I discovered things in drawers that I put there wondering what I was going to do with them. And now all of a sudden, here they are again, and I haven't made a decision. So you know where they are now? They're in our extra room, in a box. I mean, they're little things, and people would probably think, well, you could just... But, you know, I praise God, I am not a hoarder. I am a saver. Now, savers can progress to hoarders. So I am trying to stop the line at saving, and I am trying to get rid of some things. But as we were clearing our offices out, we did discover some things that we hadn't seen in years. And one of the things we discovered was this wonderful lighthouse. It really is beautiful. It has little sequined things, and this is all beading. And we actually have two of these. And they were given to us by the Olsons, Dr. Paul and Marcy, maybe 10 or 12 years ago. And when they gave them to us, they said, "Shiloh must always be a lighthouse ministry." And they said, we want you to remember that. So we're going to give you these lighthouses so you can remember that you are to be a lighthouse ministry. You got it. Today we're talking about being a lighthouse ministry. And I'm going to put this right here so you can be reminded of that. I don't think we really need a message today on how dark our world is right now. Even people of the world say that they've never seen things quite as dark as they are. We don't need to be reminded about the overwhelming spirit of death and murder and lawlessness and perversion. We don't need to be reminded about all of that. It's a dark world, and God knows it's a dark world. But God, He has a plan. He's always had a great plan. Isaiah 9:2, if we can have that scripture up, prophetically declares what will happen to people that are walking in darkness. The people who walk in darkness, this translation says, have seen a great light. The one I'm reading said, will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. That's funny how New King James can be different in different places. I got to figure that out. But thank you very much, Jessica. You're right on track. And then this one is not on the screen. Isaiah 42:6 says, I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. And the end of that verse says, and you will be a light. And one translation says, you will be a lighthouse to guide the nations. And then when Jesus came in John 8:12, He said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. In other words, we don't have to join in the darkness out there, folks. We don't have to be a part of that. We can walk in the light, and God has a plan for us to walk in the light and what He wants us to do with that light. Jesus went on to declare why we can preach this message today in Matthew 5:14-16. He said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And this is our text verse today. Let us pull this all together and talk about us being a lighthouse ministry in the darkness of our day. Jessica, can you put that slide up for me? A lighthouse ministry. What is a lighthouse ministry? Pastor Eric, thank you for doing my techie stuff for me. We all know that I can't do it. So anything you see up there, I didn't do. He did it. And I'm very grateful for that because we don't want to just lay down and die because we can't do technology, do we? So we'll let the youngers do it for us so that we can stay up with the times, okay? So, a lighthouse ministry, what does that mean? We're going to compare a lighthouse like this one into what it looks like to be a lighthouse ministry. We've all seen pictures of lighthouses. Google lighthouse. You will find candy-striped lighthouses. You will find beautiful pastel lighthouses. You will find checkered lighthouses. You will find any kind of lighthouse that you want, kind of like churches. You can find any kind of church you want. Honestly, you can. Some of them you don't want, but you can find a whole lot of them. Google them. Make sure that you are Googling Bible-based Christian churches, or you will find some things that just because they call themselves a church, you better stay away from them. If they're not preaching Jesus and they are not a Lighthouse Bible-based ministry, then you don't want to be a part of that. Well, we've all seen pictures of lighthouses, and we know that they're usually built close to a coastline. And if you were to look at a map of the coastline of the Atlantic Ocean, you would see many of them. In the daytime, they aren't needed quite as much as they are in the dark. I want you to know that being a saver, we've had calendars of 12 months of lighthouses. And I used to have one. But in my effort, and this is what I tell Pastor, I don't want to throw it away because what? I might need it one day. I could have used that lighthouse calendar because I could have stood here and just showed you all these pictures of lighthouses. So anyway, I don't have that anymore because I'm trying to not become a hoarder. And if you all knew that I told Pastor Raquel this one day, I said, you know, I used to have every bulletin we ever had from Shiloh. We had bulletins from our first Sunday at 200 North. Do you know how many bulletins that is? It's too many for any one person. I used to have tickets to every event I ever went to. I used to have napkins from every wedding. The message is not about what I used to have. I just wanted you to know that I almost had a calendar with 12 different lighthouses, but I don't have it anymore. We do have a big picture of a lighthouse hanging in our family room over our fireplace. It's been there for years, and we love it. And I think because lighthouses kind of represent hope to us, don't they? They kind of represent to us that in the midst of a storm or in the midst of darkness, that there is a light always shining, and that light is Jesus. So what does a lighthouse do, and why should we be a Lighthouse Ministries? Well, lighthouses were built and exist because there's danger in darkness, especially on the sea. Ships coming into shore couldn't see the rocks and the reefs and other ships or anything hidden in the fog or the darkness. And so the ships began to discover that they should look for a beam of light in the darkness. They knew that that beam of light would guide them either safely past what was the danger, or it would guide them for the ships to come and dock right there in that area. Many times they would send Morse code messages with the light. The beams of light would have a message. Sometimes they would sound blasts, a warning blast, telling the ships, don't come close, there's danger over here. Lighthouses were meant to save lives, and they did. Can you relate this to people today? People bombarded by danger, by darkness, by despair. Right is now becoming wrong, and wrong is somehow becoming right. Evil seems to get more publicity than righteousness. People are sad. People are afraid. People are broken. They're wounded. Listen. Would somebody please turn on a light? Will somebody please say, hey, look over here. There's a light here. There's hope here. All is not lost. We are not afraid because we live in the light, even when it's dark in the world. The light, the Lord Jesus, lives in this lighthouse. And He wants to help you. You need a place of refuge. It's here. You need hope. It's here. You need absolutes to live by. It's here. We live by the Word of God and its absolute truth. We aren't perfect, but we're always striving to follow after Jesus. You need guidance. You need an anchor to hold on to in the storm of life. Look over here. Look here, folks. Look here. look here. We're a lighthouse. We want to help you get through the darkness and the storm of your life. The building that we happen to be at is at 1519 Avenida del Sol. But the light is in us. The light is in us. The people of God. His church. And we aren't the only lighthouse in Sierra Vista. Hallelujah. There is plenty of room in Sierra Vista for the maybe 30,000 folks that aren't in church on Sunday morning. Do you remember when the Gideons were here and the gentleman said there are probably 50,000 people in Sierra Vista and the surrounding areas, and on a Sunday morning, if you count all of the churches, there are probably less than 10,000. That says to me that there are a whole lot of folks that need a lighthouse. So I want to challenge us. Come on, folks. Be a light where you are. We want to tell people, yeah, come on in. We've got plenty of room. And Pastors Eric and Raquel are young. And so if we need to have 3 or 4 services to get 30,000 people, we can do it. We got to stop hauling water to the sea. Do you understand that? We got to stop saving the good food for us and getting fat. We have got to be a lighthouse and bring the people in. Well, you say, I don't think people want to come to our building. I think they think Shiloh is a bunch of crazy folk that roll around in the aisles. And, well, we might do that. I don't know. But it's always decently in order, I will assure you of that. But you know what? You don't have to come to this building. You be a light, a lighthouse, on your job, in Safeway, or Fries. I'm an equal opportunity grocery shopper. Or the commissary. Be a light in your home. Be a light in restaurants. Look for the light, Sierra Vista. We're all around you. And if we would be a light where we are, we wouldn't have empty seats in here. Now I realize that I have a little bit of a prophetic bent that says, if it's sin, cut it out. I'm not going to hold your hand so you can figure out how you can keep sinning. I'm going to tell you, it's sin, you stop it. I'm also going to tell you that God has a plan and a purpose for this church. And it does not include empty seats. Right. Oh my, Pastor Carolyn, who and what are you talking to? But people that really know me, they know I'm nice. Way down here, there is a nice spot and a sweet spot. And Pastor tells me, and I'm sweet, and I say, I try to be. And he says, you already are. And I just say, I really want to be sweet. So I'm not fussing at you. And I realize I say that when I preach a lot. But God's heart right now is for the lost. Folks, we cannot ignore that. We must be a lighthouse ministry. Revelation says Jesus is the light in our heavenly home. Well, Jesus is also the light in this house. Let's talk about a church where, talk about what a lighthouse church is. Jessica, if you put that slide up. Pastor Eric made this too. A lighthouse church is a place where the presence of God dwells. It's not a place where everything is based on performance or presentation. It's a place of Holy Spirit life where the Holy Spirit is free to lead and minister through His gifts. It's a place of truth and grace. We will teach truth to you, but we will also have grace because God had it for us. It's a place of healing where people can come because they know they will be helped and healed, body, soul, and spirit. It's a place of love and loving relationships, discipleship, honor and respect. Honor and respect. Honor and respect. We are different in a lot of ways, but we will always honor and respect one another in a lighthouse ministry. It's a place of the prophetic, where God speaks, directs, and demonstrates His power. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's a place of the prophetic. What does thus saith the Lord say right now? What is God saying about this darkness? He's saying it's out there, but I called you to be light. Amen. I called you to make a difference in this world. It's a place of safety. We're a refuge in the end times. That means God's going to send us some refugees. Did you hear me?
Come on.
He's going to send us some refugees. And we've got to be willing to receive them. We've got to be willing to love on them. We've got to be willing to honor and respect them. A lighthouse ministry is a place where Jesus is the light shining through all that are His. So Lighthouse Ministry, you, Shiloh, rise up and reflect the light of Jesus Christ by the way that we live and the way that we help others to live. You know, a lighthouse church can lose its purpose if they don't keep Jesus and His plan in the forefront. Shiloh, would you keep Jesus and His call as the first thing? I want to show you a video about a very sad story about a life-saving station and how folks didn't keep Jesus as the first thing. Jessica.
On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude little life-saving station. The building was no more than a hut, and there was only one boat. But the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea. With little to no thought for themselves, they went out day and night, tirelessly searching for the lost. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding areas wanted to become associated with the station and give their time and money in an effort to support the work. New boats were brought in and new crews were trained. And the little life-saving station grew. Some of these new members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those who were saved from the sea. They replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged building. Now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members, and they began to use it sort of as a club. Fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. The life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decor, and there was a memorial lifeboat in the room where the club initiations were held. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and some of them were foreigners. The beautiful new club was in chaos immediately. The property committee hired someone to rig up a shower outside the club where victims of the shipwreck would be cleaned up before coming inside. The outsiders made the life-saving station extremely dirty. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities because they felt that they were unpleasant and a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. But a small number of members insisted upon life-saving as their primary mission and pointed out that they were still called a life-saving station. After all, the dissenting group's members were voted down and told that if they wanted to save lives, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. So they did. As the years went by, however, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old station. It evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station was found. History continued to repeat itself, and if you visit that eastern seacoast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but most of the passengers drown.
When people are drowning around us, we must not, we cannot change our vision or our call. We can never become a country club church or a fortress ministry where all we think about is us and what we like and what we don't like and what we think we need. And then we don't really like how messy ministry can be. So we're just going to do what makes us happy. Shiloh, we can't make sacred cows out of anything God has given us. We must always, always, always be about revealing the truth of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Something that can happen to any of us is that some of us might be shining at a pretty low wattage right now. Life is beat up on us, and we're not really plugged in to a lighthouse church. Some of you have heard. Am I still on?
Yeah.
Oh. Some of you have heard Pastor Joseph talking about Rabbi Jonathan Kahn and the Book of Mysteries. Rabbi Kahn is a brilliant, extremely prophetic Messianic Jew who speaks and writes much about what God is doing in the end times. And he wrote a book about a year, somewhere around there ago, called the Book of Mysteries. It's written as a journey through a desert, and it encounters a man known only as the Teacher. Each day, a new mystery is revealed. There are 365 of them. You can kind of read it like a devotional, or you can read it like a, you can read one a day, or, but for me, they're so deep, I have to read like one a week, or one a month, or something. But I found this, day 311, the night candle. And I'm going to take the time to actually read it because you need to hear exactly what the teacher was trying to say. The teacher led me outside his living quarters to a terrace where we sat down by a table. On the table was a lit candle. The sky began to darken. When we first sat down, he said, the sun was still shining, even on the candle. The light of the candle blended in with the light of the day. The two lights were in harmony. But then what happened? It grew dark, I said. So now the light of the candle was no longer in harmony with its surroundings. It no longer blended in. As the sky darkened, the candle stood out more and more dramatically. It was not the candle that changed, but everything around it. So now it was shining in marked contrast to its surroundings and against the darkness. And what does this mean? I asked. The teacher said, the candle in the day represents the believer who shines in the midst of a Christian civilization. Its light blends in with the surrounding culture. The culture is in harmony with the light, at least on the outside, and appears to support it. But the candle in the night represents the believer who shines in the midst of a post-Christian civilization, an apostate civilization, an anti-Christian, anti-biblical, anti-God civilization. And I would say, sounds kind of like our world today. Now the cultural supports and the external props are removed. The light of the gospel is no longer in harmony with the surrounding culture. The surrounding culture now stands increasingly in opposition to the light. The light cannot blend in. It must now increasingly stand out in contrast to its surroundings and increasingly shine against the flow. So if you had a choice, the teacher says, which candle would you rather be? The candle of the day or the candle of the night? I said, the candle of the day. The teacher said, but it's the candle of the night that changes the world. The candle that shines in the daylight. When we shine our lights in here, who notices? Who notices? We've all got the light. We all do things alike. We all don't do things alike. When the candle that shines in the darkness can be seen miles away, it is at the very time when it's hardest to shine the light. The very time when it's hardest to shine the light. Like November 12th, 2017. The very time when it's hardest to shine the light, that it's most crucial that you do it then. It is then the light is most needed. And that is when the light becomes its most powerful. So never fear the darkness. You are a light. Shine into it, especially into the night. And you will light up the world. Our mission? Live today as a candle in the night. Don't fear the darkness or be intimidated by it, but shine all the more brightly against the darkness. Shiloh, Jesus says today, let me brighten you up. He wants full wattage bulbs at Shiloh. He doesn't want itty, itty, bitty little birthday candles. He wants the giant ones that have lots of light. That's what he needs in our city. He doesn't want dim, energy-saving light bulbs in this dark world. They won't work. You go outside and try to be an energy-saving light bulb or candle, everybody will think you are just like them. They won't have any idea that Jesus lives in you and he is the answer to their problems. Jesus says right now, we are the light of the world and our lights must be bright. I'm not sure if you realize that in real lighthouses by the ocean, they're usually taken care of by a single person, a lighthouse keeper. Sometimes, his family lived close by, but usually it was just one person, the keeper of the light. Let's talk about a little bit about the keepers of the lighthouse. We have wonderful ones here. Pastors Eric and Raquel. You notice I said pastors. I realize exactly what I said. I have not approved this with the board nor with my husband. I am on my own right now. I know that First Lady Raquel is not yet ordained. However, they were installed as a couple, and she is serving in the role of pastor shepherd along with her husband. I was not ordained until I was in my 60s. Some years ago. But you know what? I was called pastor long before that. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor the fact that they are serving and shepherding us together. I just thought you wanted to know that I'm going to call her Pastor Raquel. And one day when she gets ordained, we'll call her Pastor Raquel. Anyway, so continuing on about what the responsibilities of lighthouse keepers are, first of all, it's not a 9-to-5 job, it's a 24/7 job. And they keep and take care of the lighthouse. They have to be certain that the light stays burning constantly. In the days before radar, it meant keeping the candles lit and the wicks trimmed. It meant faithfully keeping the windows and reflective mirrors clean and free of dust and dirt, which would prevent the light from penetrating the darkness. Is anybody getting where I'm going here? The lighthouse keeper had to continually watch for danger. And when a ship happened to crash into the rocks or even the lighthouse, he had to rescue the passengers and bring them in for healing and recovery. He had to constantly sound warnings and send messages to try to keep the ship safe. Can you see the parallel between pastor shepherds and lighthouse keepers? They remind us always that Jesus is the light and that we now reflect his light. They keep the light burning by preaching, teaching, discipling, and watching for our souls. They sound the warning when the enemy is lurking around trying to steal, kill, or destroy. They expose the darkness and always point us to the light. They pray constantly to discern God's direction and vision. They study and listen for God's voice in the midst of the clamor, the darkness, and the storm. When they are unsure if we've heard the warning, they continue to sound the alarm until the danger is past. They come to help us when our ship crashes and we need to be rescued. They build us up through prayer and encouragement. They can feel like they're alone in the lighthouse, trying to keep the lights burning all by themselves. Regarding this last statement about doing it by themselves, we all know that analogies can only go so far. So unlike a regular lighthouse, our lighthouse keepers have a body of believers that are a part of this great light. This great Shiloh Lighthouse ministry. And we won't let them do it by themselves. And by the way, they cannot. They cannot. They cannot do it by themselves. So Shiloh, especially leaders, if you want us to remain a lighthouse ministry, we must commit to helping keep the lights burning. Helping to care for those who are shipwrecked. We must commit to constantly praying for the Vivasos and their dear family. We must continue holding up their arms and supporting the ministry of the Word and the work of the Lord here. When they say they're going to be delivering Thanksgiving food boxes, they shouldn't show up here with two people. They should show up here with a whole church full of people and maybe have to send some of you home because there's not enough work. Do you hear what I'm saying? They cannot do it by themselves. We commit to constantly praying for them and supporting the ministry of the Word and the work of the Lord here. We must live our lives reflecting the light of Jesus Christ. That will make their lives easier. Shiloh, we can't live in the light and dabble in the darkness. If you want to know what that means, you come see me at the end of church. We can't live in the light and try to put our toe in the ocean of darkness. We will fail. We will fail as a church. We will fall. We will become like that life-saving station that became a country club, and people drowned because they were not doing what they should have done. Personally, we need to determine ourselves what pleases God and then live in that. God's word tells us how to live in the light. His word is absolute. His word is sure. His word has directions. His word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. If we do that, then God and our lighthouse keepers will be pleased that we are walking in the light and not in the darkness, because they know it's dangerous out there. And finally, we've talked a lot about us being a lighthouse, but I really felt like there might be some here who might not feel quite ready to be a lighthouse. You might need a lighthouse. You might have a need for a new or renewed encounter with Jesus. If you were a candle, you might need your wick to be trimmed a little bit. If you're a low-burning, low-energy light bulb, you might need to get plugged in or get a bigger bulb. That's what we need, a bigger bulb. Yeah. We're going to close with a video featuring a gospel singer from the old days. This is not a modern song. It is not contemporary. It's really old school. But it has a message that I believe will bless you. It's called Thank God for the Lighthouse, and it's sung by John Starnes. I pray that you'll feel free to worship, sing along, let God speak to your heart. The altar is open for prayer. Pastor Eric is going to close the service. God bless you, Shiloh. You are a lighthouse ministry.
On a hillside that overlooks life's sea, and when I'm tossed about, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in the darkness . If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would be no more. Everybody that lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use in it standing around. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw the light. Yes, the light from that. that stands upon the hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse. And from that